In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." One of the most enduring pictures we have of Jesus is the one in which he is portrayed as a shepherd carrying a sheep on his shoulder. I have this picture on my desk in my office, and it is quite meaningful to me. One of my friends gave me this picture as a gift at my ordination in June 2001. Many of you know from my previous self-disclosures during sermons that it took many, many years of wandering in the wilderness before I came to myself and gave in for Jesus to carry me through the threshold of ordination. I could very well identify myself with that sheep on Jesus' shoulder as both lost and then found. And shortly after ordination, early September, just a few days before the tragic events of September 11, 2001, a day etched in the psyche of our country, I started my first curacy at Christ Episcopal Church in Needham, Massachusetts. As I look back on my ministry in the last 15 years, I could very well say that my ministry as a priest in the church has been shaped and defined in the context of 9/11 and its aftermath. As I carry on my ministry as a priest, and many times when I feel lost, this image of the Good Shepherd carrying the sheep helped me wade through the ups and downs, through the thick and thin and the twists and turns of life and ministry. Now, 15 years later, after 9/11 and my ordination, our society is even more polarized politically, socially, economically, and religiously. Nativism and nationalism are rampant. There is a sense of us versus them feeling in our national context today. It is in this context we today reflect on the lost and found parables of Jesus. The opening sentence of the gospel reading set the stage for us. The despised tax collectors and sinners on one side, and the righteous, the respectable, the morally superior Pharisees and scribes on the other side. Pharisees and scribes make the primary audience for Jesus. It is their grumbling that made Jesus to tell these parables of lost and found. Jesus takes them seriously as they are considered to be righteous, the cream of the crop, the guardians of morality. They are the kind of people who would be regular in going to church and synagogues, who live by the rule, who are religious in giving tithes, learned and scholarly, respectable in community, and are looked up to as exemplary citizens. But in our reading, we see them grumbling and saying, "This fellow, Jesus, welcomes sinners and eats with them." If he were truly a prophet, would he not know what sorts of people are these with whom he is associating himself? Don't we hear similar sentiments these days in our airwaves? For the so-called respectable, there is a whole class of people who is considered expendables. They grumble that these are the illegals, who get into our country through our porous borders and take our jobs, rape our women, murder our people. These are the Mexicans, the Muslims, the terrorists. How can we allow them to get into our country and change our society? These are the people who don't contribute anything to our country or our economy, and they take advantage of it. Jesus' parables of the lost and found are as applicable to us today as it was 2,000 years ago. However, I find the basic premises of these parables are somewhat ludicrous. Let me tell you why, what I mean by that. Jesus asked his detractors, which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? Just think about that question more closely. Would anyone, the spirit is moving here. Would anyone do that today? Or even in Jesus' time? Leaving the 99 sheep in the wilderness. Mind you, it is the wilderness, not the sheepfold, where the dangers lurk everywhere. Come to think about it, it is indeed a ridiculous assumption. Today, we do the most practical thing, write it off as cost of doing business. According to our conventional thinking, leaving the entire flock to fend for itself in order to search for just one would seem to be economically irresponsible. As a matter of fact, when we make business plans, we make allowances for such losses. What is even more ridiculous is the second assumption of these parables, the disproportionate amount of joy the finder experienced in finding the lost item, and how it would lead him to a celebration which would cost him more than the worth of the item that was lost. So either in the business sense of the Wall Street or in the common sense of Main Street, these premises Jesus assumes in these parables of lost and found somehow are hard to accept. So whenever I read these lost and found parables of Jesus, I wonder, whom do I identify most in these stories? With the one that is lost or the 99 that is found? I am too good to be identified with the lost in the ranks of the sinners and tax collectors. And I am too smart to be identified with the so-called righteous ones, the grumbling Pharisees and scribes. But what do my actions and my behavior speak about me? How do I understand the grumblings of the Pharisees of Jesus? And how do I understand the accepting and welcoming behavior of Jesus of the despised minority? What is my understanding of the responsibility of the majority towards the minority? Is it to crush them, kick them out, make them scapegoats? What is it in Jesus telling his grumbling critics these parables? The parables of the lost and found make sense to us only if we buy into Jesus' assumptions, which is, God doesn't make any allowance for writing things off. No one is expendable in the kingdom of God. And that God takes enormous joy in the salvation of all people. No one is outside the scope of his universal salvation. As a people of faith and as members of a nation built on the principles of Judeo-Christian values, we are called not just to be tolerant of others who are different from us, but we are to love our neighbors even if they are our enemies. As a nation, we are being tested, and the whole world is watching us carefully. Do we give way to baser instincts and act as our detractors hope we would? Or do we rise above the fray and act nobly as our Lord Jesus would have us do? Today, Christianity and Islam are not only the two largest religions in the world, but also they increasingly occupy the same socio-political reality. How do we navigate that space while remaining true to their particular religious commitments? Do we allow a small group of extremists from both sides hijack the discourse for narrow vested interests? Or do we engage in dialogue in our churches and synagogues and mosques and learn from each other's sacred texts and find ways to how best we can serve each other, especially the suffering and broken humanity? As far as Jesus is concerned, no one is expendable in the kingdom of God, and no one is outside the scope of God's salvation. God's love for human beings and creation is limitless. God's love, expressed on that cross, shapes a new creation out of the chaos and alienation and estrangement. Something earth-changing has occurred on that cross, with sweeping consequences for the rest of the humanity. Where do we find ourselves in the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin? Do we find ourselves as the lost, sitting at the table with Jesus along with other lost ones? Or do we find ourselves standing outside the circle of fellowship, grumbling at Jesus for his ministry among the sinners? As a church, and as members of this church, are we being an inviting church to those who are shut out and locked out? The end of evangelism is not names on the church row, but it is the places at the table in the midst of Eucharistic joy. This morning, as you come to take communion, come to the altar rail, think about you riding on the shoulder of Jesus, as you are the most loved one as far as Jesus is concerned. For Jesus, it is not the 100 sheep. Jesus knows every sheep by its name. So we are special for Jesus. So think about it as you come forward to take communion and participate in the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.